This is Will's Band of the Week for November 2nd, 2014. To another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will. Just wait till you hear this introduction. Along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
Chris live in studio.
Here I am.
And from halfway across the world in Melbourne, Australia, Nicholas.
Hello. Hello, Madison, Wisconsin. And
yep.
The rest of the world.
You know, I was thinking probably Craig can have a legitimate claim that, you know, he made our podcast an international podcast officially, but now it's really an international podcast, right?
Exactly.
Is that Fox?
Oh, Fox in the background there.
It is Fox. Yeah, he's going off to see his great-grandma this morning, and, well, you know, I'm glad that his little voice is still coming loud and clear through the lounge room door.
We've been waiting for Fox to make his debut.
I think he just made it without even knowing it.
Yeah.
Wow. So Fox is now an international podcaster
as
well.
Yeah. Does he have any music news for us?
So he's getting picked up by
If it involved, you know, reading a storybook, then, you know, he'd be fine with that. He likes music, though. He was listening to Thurston Moore at the breakfast table this morning. So,
nice.
You know, that's
good.
Cool. So he's getting picked up by his grandparents? Right?
No, my partner Finley and him, they're going out for the morning to see his great-grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Fox was saying he likes a lot of the older Sonic Youth stuff?
Yeah, look, we're still kind of debating, you know, which period of Sonic Youth is better. You know. So it'll be an ongoing discussion in the household. That's fine.
Yeah. I used to play Guided by Voices for my son when he was about 3, and who knows? Maybe that made him the rocker that he is today.
That could be.
Yeah.
Yes. It's kind of a nature versus nurture question here.
Okay. So did we determine where you are right now?
So I'm in Melbourne, Australia. Mm-hmm. Coburg is the suburb.
Well, we don't need your address. That's Melbourne is fine.
Yeah, but I mean, Melbourne's a big place, so you can drive from one side of it to the other and be driving for a couple of hours and be going through different suburbs.
Wow.
Melbourne is currently the home of my sister, actually, right now. She lives there.
Oh, well. Okay, cool.
Yeah, but I still have no idea where it is. She fell in love with some guy and just followed him there. He's a native Melbournean, so.
Wow, great.
Yeah, she'd been there about a year. But we are also looking up other famous Melbournians, and it seems like here in America, just about every famous Australian that you've ever heard of is from Melbourne.
Well, it's kind of the second biggest city in Australia. Sydney's the biggest in terms of its population. There's this sort of rivalry between Melbourne and Sydney. So if you're from Melbourne, Melbourne's obviously heaps better than Sydney. And if you're from Sydney, then you probably don't even think about Melbourne. So, Melbourne does seem to have a more of a music scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, go ahead. Trash talk Sydney all you want here.
Yeah.
We don't take sides.
So say an American band was going to play in Australia, would they just always play both places? I mean, they're going that far, right?
Yeah, like if there was a national tour, they would definitely do Melbourne, Sydney, and then probably a couple of other states at least. So,
They probably wouldn't go to Perth, right?
Some do. Some do, but
Okay, now you're just naming places.
that's like several hours on the plane. That's like way on the west coast of Australia. We're on the east coast.
Could you even drive to Perth if you wanted to? Is there a road?
Yeah, you can. You can. It would take a few days, and you're going across a desert. So I've never actually done it, but you kind of need to make sure that you're not going to break down in the middle of the desert and die. But you know, as long as you don't do that, you'll be fine.
I would think the gas stations might be far apart too.
Yeah. You're going through that. You're going through that really big bit in the middle. Although, you know, Melbourne's kind of like way down the kind of the bottom of the country, so you're not going right through the center. But yeah, there's a lot of desert. You know, there's big. I feel like my words are like dropping out of my mouth. I don't know. I'm getting all. I started off really nice and relaxed, and now I'm getting all nervous because I'm talking about the distances between Melbourne and Perth, and I've really got no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, you are the spokesman for an entire continent right now, so
that's kind of a really bad thing. You know?
Yeah. Now, you know, one more Australia geography question. Where's Adelaide compared to where you are in Sydney?
So Adelaide is the capital of South Australia. So if you imagine, if you kind of like, if you look at the palm of your hand, you know, and so Melbourne's kind of like
right
down in the bottom sort of bottom right-hand corner, mm-hmm. roughly.
Yeah.
And you keep on going left, and Adelaide's kind of in the middle of the sort of bottom bit. So it's on the south coast of Australia.
Seems like you could have Googled this, Will, if you really wanted to know.
Yeah, so yeah, you can drive there. I think it takes about eight or nine hours, mm-hmm. 8 or 9 or 10 hours to drive to Adelaide from Melbourne.
Depending on how many kilometers per hour you're driving.
Yeah, yes. It's a pretty boring drive. You're just sort of going in this straight line and there's not much to see really. So, yeah. How come you asked about Adelaide?
What did you say? Why did I ask about it?
Yeah.
I met a guy from Adelaide.
Okay.
That's all.
It's a nice place.
Great story, Will. All right. On that note, glad we burned 5 minutes on that.
Tell that story. Uncle Will, please tell that story about the guy from Adelaide. Yeah.
Have you sold the movie rights to that story? The man from Adelaide.
I'm just trying to not give up too much. There's a whole backstory, but it's just too exciting. I've got to hold it back.
I think Will killed the guy from Adelaide.
That could have been it. Yes.
It does have a reputation. Apparently, it's the it has more serial killers per capita than any other city in Australia, which is a terrible thing to say. But hey, there you go. I've just said it.
Wow.
How well do you know this guy from Adelaide?
Not that well. It's safe.
In any event, let me just rip off a couple of famous Melburnians. We got Kylie Minogue. You can just nod if you know who these people are.
yeah. Or the guys in.
Yeah, whatever, whoever. Cate Blanchett. She's a big deal. Yeah. Andrew Bogut, basketball player. Let's see, the Hemsworth brothers. All of them. There's like 8 of them that are all actors. Let's see. Olivia Newton-John is from Melbourne. And that's kind of a who's who
of modern pop culture right there.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Yep. A little cross-section.
And Nicholas and Fox, most importantly, today. Right?
That's right. So I imagine all those people probably listen to the podcast, and so they're going to be very happy that we have Nicholas on.
Getting a shout-out.
Yes.
Yeah.
One more question. Talking about geography. Had you heard of Wisconsin before hearing our podcast?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
I mean, we kind of grow up in Australia. You know, you always hear all these, like, the town and the state. And I suppose I knew Milwaukee because I grew up watching Happy Days. Oh, and Milwaukee, sure. You've talked about Milwaukee, and that's near Madison. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, it's 90 minutes
away. Far away?
Yeah, it's about an hour drive.
Yeah. So that kind of gives me a little point of reference, but all I then think of is Fonzie and, you know, getting some fries at Big Al. So
as you should.
If I look at the map, I've got no idea where Milwaukee is.
Well, so if you want to use your hand again as a reference, it's on the, if you look at your right hand, palm side up, it's in the bottom, you know, bottom right hand corner.
It's about an hour from Chicago.
Yeah.
Do you know where Chicago is?
See, I'm really terrible with geography.
That's
I've been
okay.
to America, but not all, certainly not many states.
Now, you sent us a sound clip at one point, and you did an American accent. So
the 38 special,
yes,
right? Yeah.
So we can't let you go without hearing your American accent.
Right.
Maybe you can do the rest of the podcast with a fake American accent.
If we go there. Chris?
All right. Yeah, well, during the point of the podcast, you can figure out something to say and then just kind of slip it in.
Maybe you could even do it in like a Fonzie voice.
Hey!
All right.
I haven't heard you guys do an Australian accent, so, you know.
Well, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there you go. But look, guys,
we'll go on.
I really just want to say that it's an honor and a privilege to be here on the podcast, and you know, it's great. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing because I was trying to work out like an accurate analogy. It's kind of like if you sort of like we're watching, you know, I'm gonna like 90s reference for all of us people over 30. You know, like if you kind of grew up and you're watching Seinfeld every week. And then, like, after a couple of years, suddenly you find yourself on Seinfeld and you say, hey, Jerry, hey, Howard, because, I mean, I listen to you guys every week. So it's kind of really weird that I've never actually spoken to you, but I feel like I know a lot about your lives and I've kind of, you know your personalities and I kind of get to check in with you every week. And now here I am talking to you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just an amazing universe we live in, and I'm just really happy to be here. So
yeah.
Thank you.
That's touching.
And, you know, a lot of people have relatives who go overseas. You know, we hear about it in the military all the time, and they keep contact by Skype. But I've never had that. I've never done that. So this is like the first time I've had a Skype call with somebody from Australia, I think.
Me for sure.
And yeah. It's so crystal clear. It's really cool.
Yeah, there's no reason we shouldn't be doing this more often.
Yeah.
I don't think.
So we now have two international bureaus, officially.
Yes.
We're going to have to start finding maybe, I'd like to find somebody in Japan and maybe somebody in Spain. I mean, we got to find some.
Well, then you start running into language barriers, but.
That's true. Maybe I'm getting cocky now. I'm just excited because
right.
We have, yeah.
Well, I think anybody that's listening to the podcast would be. Proficient
probably,
enough in English to
probably
speak.
Probably English speaking.
Yeah.
They don't just listen to us like it's like blah 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 and then part of the song.
Well,
and then
we
all laugh.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for saying that. And
yeah,
for
that's
us,
awesome.
For us to speak with somebody, as Will said, halfway around the world that takes the time to listen to what we do on a weekly basis is I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Thrilling.
And
it really is.
It brings to life, you know, that some people actually listen and they're not just pressing a button on a computer, you know. It's like
right.
There's a human being at the other end of that. That's cool.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think it's the... Oh, sorry. I'm going to keep crapping on about podcasts. Have we got time to do that?
Oh,
sure.
Go
ahead.
Oh, I just think it's the great thing about podcasts is that, you know, there's this kind of thing that exists, which is the podcast that you guys have created, and you're sort of like making it every week. And I guess you've got an idea of how many people listen by how many people download it or whatever, but in a sense, your audience is kind of invisible to you. What am I trying to say? I mean, I just think it's a great thing that that these podcasts kind of exist. I mean, it's in a way, it's kind of a little bit like community radio, but it's on a sort of a global scale. So you can basically do whatever you like, however you like, and in such a personal way.
Right.
And, you know, if people kind of stumble across it, they can connect with what you're doing. And I suppose the difference is that because you are creating it yourselves, you know, you can make that direct contact with listeners, which is different from, you know, say, watching Seinfeld. You don't call up Jerry Seinfeld and say, hey, how's it going, Jerry?
Right.
You know, it's just so accessible to making contact with the people that are actually making the podcasting, you know.
Right.
I just think that's really cool.
Well, since you brought up Seinfeld, I think you have to assign a character for each of us from Seinfeld.
we are treated as if we are
Barrett,
Seinfeld here in the States.
Yeah, I think Barrett would be Kramer.
Oh,
yes. Oh, the lucky guy, because Kramer is the coolest.
Chris, I feel like, should you be Jerry or George? Or maybe you should be Elaine.
Elaine. I'm more of an Elaine.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
So Will, I guess that makes you Jerry.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I was going to say Newman.
Dog could be George.
I was going to say Will was Newman.
Okay. All right. Should we do a real podcast now? Okay, ready?
Yeah, and feel free to edit any of that stuff out.
No, not at all.
Yeah, well, we got to give the people what they want.
Exactly.
Because we're so famous here in the States.
Worth.
Yes.
You know, we hear often that when we do hear from people that it's the banter and stuff like that that they tune in for. They're not just fast-forwarding through this to get to the music, you know?
Yeah.
Well, thank God, because we usually take a long time to get to it.
This is really more of a kind of a lifestyle podcast.
Right.
We're life coaches.
We should be in the lifestyle section instead of the music and entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barrett Fix My Life. Is that what we should call it? We should rename it.
Yeah.
So I thought I had music news. Oh, I think I was going to talk about that movie. I did watch it. The Ginger Baker movie.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm.
I put it on my queue, but I didn't.
It's called Beware of Mr. Baker. And it was confirmed that he's not that nice of a guy. But this is what I found kind of interesting about it. It's about a guy who's not very likable and whose music is not really, to me, all that likable. And yet it was good. So,
Well,
it was fun to watch.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a standard documentary format. You interview a bunch of people who talk about him. But he's kind of a centerpiece of it. This guy got permission basically to do a bunch of filmed interviews of him, and he's really cranky, and he's sitting back in this chair looking really surly and kind of bitchy, and it's kind of fun.
I'll watch it.
He's in South Africa.
Boy, I'm sold.
He's living in South Africa, and there's this big sign when you go in. There's a gate, and you go in, and it says, "Beware, Mr. Baker." So it's don't mess with this guy, basically. But it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I do recommend it.
Interview Eric Clapton as part of
it? Yes. Yeah. Clapton is on it a little fair amount. Comes across okay. He's not totally kind of nuts like Ginger Baker. And Jack Bruce is in it a little bit too.
Mm.
And then I believe Ginger Baker has had four wives, and they talk to at least two of them.
All at once?
Not at once. And the wives seem almost surprisingly kind of normal compared to how he comes across.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes you wonder, like, how did he get these women who seem almost kind of normal and nice to marry him? Because
maybe because he's a rock star.
Yeah, I think that was why.
Isn't that kind of the whole idea behind being a rock star?
Yeah.
So you can be an extremely ugly,
foul guy. Hey, Fox.
There he is.
Yeah.
Did he say goodbye?
Is he saying goodbye to us?
He's saying something about Ginger Baker. He's like, oh, Ginger Baker.
Yes. He much prefers Clapton. There he is.
Oh, this was the other little tidbit. He was in Cream, and Cream only lasted like 3 years or something, and they broke up. And then he had something called the Ginger Baker Trio, and he was in one or two other bands. But after about 5 years, everybody was onto him that this is a guy you can't get along with. So he eventually just couldn't find a band that would be willing to take him. Like he couldn't join any bands because it's like, forget it, not him, you know.
Wow.
They just didn't. But he was good enough that he would challenge other drummers to drum offs. And they showed this footage where there would be two drummers on a stage and they'd be like challenging each other. So it looked like they'd each play like for 30 seconds, you know, and then it's like, take that, you know, and then looks over at the other guy, and the other guy tries to match what he played.
Did people have to sit there and watch this, or was it like in a?
It looked like it was on a stage.
Sounds terrible.
Well, I think you got to watch the documentary to understand it. So, okay, that's not really music news, but that's what I've got.
You know who? So I occasionally drop in and watch one of these singing shows. In the U.S., we have one called The Voice. Do you guys, in Australia, do you have, like, singing competition shows on TV?
They're massively huge over here.
Yeah.
Massively popular. So The Voice, we've got an Australian version of that. And we've got another one called The X Factor, which is kind of the same sort of thing.
Yes.
Those shows are massive over here.
Yeah, I think that started in Britain, and then Simon Cowell tried to export that here, and it didn't take. But we've got like American Idol, we've got The Voice, and all this kind of stuff. And on The Voice, they have celebrity judges, or they have celebrity mentors, and you know, it's usually, you know, Rihanna was one of them, and Alicia Keys, and they have like these young hip mentors that they, you know, they bring them in, the contestants in, and surprise them, like, oh, here's your mentor. And one of the mentors this season is Stevie Nicks. So you've got these like 16, 17, 18-year-old kids in there in the singing competition.
Right.
And they bring them in, and surprise, your mentor is Stevie Nicks, who's like 70 years old.
No kidding.
They have no idea who she is. And she's like in there, and she's like probably propped up with like a broom handle and wearing these giant sunglasses and could not care less about any of this. But like they've got, you know, Fleetwood Mac's got a, they're on like a reunion tour right now.
Right.
So they probably said, Stevie, you gotta go do this. And she looks so completely, I mean, to the extent that now you can even like ascertain her expressions, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little work done. But yeah, it's it's kind of a train wreck when Stevie Nicks is on The Voice. So I would recommend to anybody tuning in just for that.
Yeah, it sounds like good television.
Yeah, these kids walk in there and they're like, "Oh, it's Stevie Nicks. Oh, I wanted to meet Rihanna."
Right. It'd be like, yeah. See, so I would have been like, maybe these contestants are 18 or something, or 20. Say they were 20. So in 1986, somebody that was, it'd be like, and it'd be like maybe meeting the Andrews sisters.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Eddie Cantor. Teach you how to be a star.
Here's Vera Lynn to teach you how to
sing. I'm going to make you big, kid. Here's Frankie Valli. They teach you how to be a rocker.
I heard the review of the latest Stevie Nicks album by the Sound Opinions guys, and they pretty much trashed it. One of them gave it the proverbial trash it rating.
Mm.
The other one gave it the middle rating, but and they played one track and it was not very good at all.
Yeah.
It was it sounds like, you know, it's sort of sad. Her voice, everybody's voice kind of goes when they get that old, and you're not going to have like the same kind of quality of your voice. But it definitely sounded like just like the whole middle sort of warmth of the voice was kind of gone.
And hers was fairly unique to begin with. It's not your classically...
It wasn't like a big, powerful voice or anything.
Right.
Right. And the other thing is, she took songs that were like partially recorded in 1970 or something and just like took them out of the vault and finished them.
Just reheated them.
So, yeah. And they were like, and then one of the reviewers was saying, you can imagine why this wouldn't be very good if the songs weren't good enough back then to make it onto an album, you know?
Right.
So anyway, yeah.
Hey guys, tell me to shut up if I'm telling too many stories. But that thing of like a young person liking kind of music from an era before them just has reminded me of something that happened last night. So this is in some ways very localized music news, and it's, you know, stretching the term music news. But in fact, I went to get a pizza from the pizza shop around the corner here in Coburg, Melbourne, Australia. And so I'm paying the girl for these pizzas that we had last night, and you know, she looked as though she was maybe about 25 or 26 or something like that. And as she's taking my money, she had a Van Halen tattoo on her wrist.
Wow!
And I said to her, "Hey, you got a, you know, it was like the VH symbol."
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "Hey, cool, you got a Van Halen tattoo." She's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, I really like Van Halen." And I grew up loving Van Halen. So I said, "Oh, what's your favorite album?" And she said, "Oh, 1984, you know, which was their sort of big album that had Jump on it."
Sure.
And she was saying, "Oh, you know, even though I was sort of like born after it came out, you know, I've really got my parents to, you know, to thank for that." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, oh, that's really cool." And I just thought it was kind of weird that this, you know, 25-year-old girl has got this Van Halen tattoo on her wrist. And for the rest of her life. So, you know, in 50 years from now, when she's, you know, in her mid-70s in a nursing home, she's going to have this sort of like wrinkled, sort of slightly faded Van Halen wrist tattoo.
But that's awesome, because like, at least when she has this tattoo, it'll be like kind of almost a throwback. She got the tattoo after she could look back and say, this was a huge band for a long time. Whereas if you were to go get a tattoo from a band you like now,
right,
you don't know that they're going to have kind of the pedigree that Van Halen did.
Like,
so there's probably like people out there with like Limp Bizkit tattoos.
Right. Or like that Avi Buffalo tramp stamp that Will's got.
Yes. Yeah. No. So yeah. I'm for that.
Yeah. Be a good conversation starter in the nursing home. She'll be able to say, you know, that they were never as good with Sammy Hagar and stuff like that.
Huh. Just the mere fact that there's this 25-year-old girl, woman, in Australia that likes Van Halen is giving hope to Midwestern nerds all over you know.
Yes, did you did you like marry?
There is somebody like that out there.
Did you marry this woman? I would have proposed.
Look, you know, if I wasn't I wasn't a family man myself, I would have been going to that pizza shop every night.
Right.
Same conversation.
You'd weigh 300 pounds by the time you finally got around to asking her out. So the... Can you think of like a band when you turned 25, a band from like 30 years before that you would have been, you would have liked enough to have gotten a tattoo?
Boy, I never went back like that.
Yeah?
You know,
so yeah,
really.
Let's see. So like.
I went back maybe one decade or so. That was
like
about
somebody
it.
From 10 years before you were born, basically.
When I, because when I was in high school, I've probably told this story before, but one of my teachers was just like, okay, we're doing some poetry class project, and so you go find an album or something that has poetry or at least has the lyrics. And so I started flipping through my parents' Simon and Garfunkel stuff, and it was, you know, 30 years before I was in high school, and I absolutely fell in love. Like, I was crazy about Simon and Garfunkel well after the fact. So
there you go.
So
that's,
yeah,
a good one.
I was like a kid walking around in high school singing like April Come She Will.
Yeah, that'd be a difficult one though. They don't have like a signature logo,
right?
Yeah, know? He just had Paul Simon's face tattooed on him.
I had Art Garfunkel's afro tattooed on my back.
Yep. All right. We probably should play some music. Otherwise, Barrett's going to have to leave, and we will not have played any music, right? He's got about another half hour before he's bailing on us.
Yeah, we'll be fine. Let's
let it roll.
This has been, so far so good, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's having fun.
We should ask Nicholas, though. Do you have any music news? Did we miss anything? Any deaths of the week?
I did some research, and the best I could come up with was that Tony Iommi, the guitar player from Black Sabbath, who's recently had cancer, he wrote a piece of music that was going to be aired on CSI, and it was going to be aired in the US on the 2nd of November, which I think is tonight. So I guess, podcast listeners, unless you tuned into CSI last night, you've missed Tony Iommi's compositional greatness. I don't know what he did, busted out some metal riffs on his guitar over some sort of car chase or something.
Huh.
So that's the best I could come up with. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
No, that's okay.
Good little tidbit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
So what are we doing first here?
We're going to talk about Thurston Moore.
Oh, I've heard of him.
I think Thurston Moore is... It's interesting because he has a, you know, like, I guess a big cult following, right? But it seems like he's still kind of underrated on the whole, like, global indie rock scene. I don't know why I feel that way, but...
If only we had somebody on the podcast that could attest to his global reach.
Yeah.
Right. We've got people in Madison that can attest to how big he is here.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to call somebody that's in another country.
Let's ask
somebody.
Or we
could just ask... Wait.
He's right there.
Oh,
yeah.
You're still here, right?
He's on the call.
I'm still here. Yeah.
So has Thurston Moore or Sonic Youth or any of that, has that permeated Australia? Is this somebody
yeah,
that you're...
absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So how could I... Like, they came... You know, we used to have a music festival here every year called The Big Day Out, which is a little bit like Lollapalooza, I suppose, you know. Anyway, Sonic Youth played The Big Day Out 10 years ago. You know, they've probably been out to Australia half a dozen times. I know they came out for that All Tomorrow's Party thing and did one of their classic albums, Start to Finish. Sonic Youth, if you're into alternative rock, you definitely know them, and they're... I think they've always been considered incredible kind of pioneers, really, and, you know, hugely influential. So someone like Thurston Moore, I think if you're at all kind of a music fan of any kind of alternative music, you know, you're kind of going to know about Sonic Youth and probably about Thurston Moore.
Well said.
Yeah. And he's got a new band that includes the bass player from My Bloody Valentine. There's a little tidbit for you guys.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Thanks. Let me write that down.
And the new album is called The Best Day. Let's kick it off with the opening track, which is really good, Speak to the Wild.
Thank you.
Thurston Moore. The new album is called The Best Day.
Mm-hmm. That one kind of hits a sweet spot for me where it's kind of, you know, it's got a little roughness, but it's also pretty mild and tuneful.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of what I always liked about Sonic Youth.
Yep. Nicholas, I know you had a good first impression of the album, so.
Yeah, I listened to half of the album, and I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome, I love it, this is my album of the year, I just loved it, and I still love it, and I think what you said then, Barrett, was a good way of kind of, it seemed to rock in what I would describe like a gentle way, and I don't know how to put that in, you know, any better than that, because it does, it always has this sort of drive, really rocks, but it's never really harsh, it's never it's can be challenging but not confronting, it's always kind of, yeah, it just, it's always got this sort of gentleness, and I kind of wonder if that's part of his kind of personality coming through, but that's, you know, what I really loved about particularly the last few Sonic Youth albums before they broke up.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like the last three or four Sonic Youth albums had that same kind of a vibe, right?
Yeah. It's kind of a, you know, kind of this maturity. Seemed like their music kind of slowed down, but they were just always great. You know, I think the songs really come through a lot more in Sonic Youth's sort of later material, and that's what I really like about this album. So it totally reminds me of particularly an album that they put out in 2002 called Murray Street, which is a great album, and it's a lot of these songs are similar to that. So I think that's kind of one of the reasons I really like this album, is that it's like some of those later Sonic Youth albums.
We'll pick out one of the songs that made it one of your favorite albums of the year.
Yep.
Number four is great, The Best Day.
The title track, Best Day.
He sounds like Stephen Malkmus on that one.
I was going to say that about the first one.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm rocked very gently right now.
You know, one of the things that Nicholas said kind of raised my professional jealousy a little bit when he described it as being challenging without being confrontational. I'm like, damn it. I never would have thought to say that.
Yeah,
that's some good stuff. Good. We might have to cut that out, though, because it makes us look bad. Yeah. We're going to have you say...
Can't outshine the host. That's the rule number one.
Say something right here. We're going to dub it in. Just say, like, oh, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just grunt. Yeah, make a noise.
Okay, there you go.
Good. We'll put that in. We'll dub that in. I've
got... Just on a loop, the whole podcast.
Yeah.
I've got a little music journalism about this band also. And it might be wrong, but I'm going by memory. I believe that, and I already mentioned the bass player being from My Bloody Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
And the drummer is, I'm pretty sure Steve Shelley from Sonic Youth is drumming in his band now.
Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. And is that right? I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I reckon it's, well, firstly, yes, he is drumming in this band. Interestingly, so Lee Rinaldo, the other guitar player from Sonic Youth, who's now put out a couple of solo albums, great albums. Actually, you reviewed one of them a couple of years ago.
Right.
So in Lee Rinaldo's band, he also got Steve Shelley to play the drums. So everyone in, like, Lee Rinaldo and Thurston Moore both get Steve Shelley to be their drummer in their solo bands. It's kind of like... Didn't John Lennon get Ringo to play on one of his post Beatles solo albums?
This is starting to scare me. This is entirely too much like actual journalism. Like, way too much front work went into this one.
Well, the thing that I want to say about Steve Shelley is he's completely the most underrated member of Sonic Youth. Obviously, I love Sonic Youth, and a lot of people, I guess, kind of focus on the, you know, sort of dueling noisy guitars of Lee Rinaldo and Thurston Moore. But it's actually Steve Shelley's awesome drumming that just holds the whole thing down. And you kind of don't focus on it. And in a way, that's what makes it so great, because it's kind of the anchor for everything. But his drumming is awesome. Always fits the music so beautifully. And I think that's one of the things that makes... the music that he drums on Sonic Youth, as well as this album by Thurston Moore, you know, rocks in that kind of gentle way. I think a lot of that's to do with the drums. And I actually saw a little interview with Steve Shelley, and he was saying how when he records in the studio and he's got his drum set up and his cymbals, he gets a piece of paper towel and puts a little hole in it and puts the piece of paper towel just like over the top of each of the cymbals, so that when you hit it, it still like goes psh, but it sort of dampens it just slightly. So there you go. Drummers out there, if you want to get that Steve Shelley sound, you put a piece of paper towel. Sounds ridiculous, but that's what he does. Puts a piece of paper towel on the top of each cymbal.
I feel like an ad for a paper towel company is coming right now. Do you have any particular paper towel that...
The quicker like picker-upper and the cymbal damper.
It absorbs, dampener. It absorbs noise and Kool-Aid.
Right. Wow.
Have you guys seen what the drummer for Real Estate does with his drums? He puts like shirts on top of all of them or towels. Like, I think it's like shirts like over all of them. So they're all just like dampened.
Are you a musician yourself, Nicholas?
Yeah, I play guitar.
So you're a rocker. So you know what you're talking about.
Well, we all like to think that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Do you play daily? Do you play with other people, or are you just sort of...
Yeah, I've made a lot of my own music, and I'm lucky enough to have my own music room with electric guitars hanging on the walls and lots of guitar pedals and stuff like that, so...
Cool.
Just knocked my microphone over. That's what I love doing. Love making music on the electric guitar.
Do you have anything to plug? Anything to tell people about? Projects? Band names? Anything? Throw it out there.
Well, you know, when I eventually reach global levels of fame, this podcast will be seeked out by my, you know, most devoted fans, and I'll be like, wow, just listen to the sound of his voice. That's amazing.
When you're doing duets with Stevie Nicks.
Right.
Yeah, look, Stevie and I are good friends, and, I'll be passing on your comments to Steve-O. That's what I call Stevie. Steve-O.
Yes, please don't tell her what I said about her. She'd be crushed, I'm sure.
Yeah, she wouldn't like that at all.
There's some other interesting things about this band, this album of Thurston's, but I don't know if you want to play another track. But there's some other interesting kind of like bits of information about how it sort of came together.
Well, I heard the story about the guitar player. I was going to tell that one. Did you hear how he met the guitar player? Thurston Moore was living in an apartment building. Was it London or something? I can't remember where. And I think it might have been London. And he heard some guy playing the guitar in his building. And he said, that sounds kind of cool. And he introduced himself to the guy. And that's the guy who's in his band now. He just heard him playing in his building. Right? Did I get that right, Nicholas?
Well, it's even more kind of wacky than that. Because, so Thurston Moore is now 56, which is kind of strange in itself.
Yeah.
So he's moved to London. And then he actually said that he was sharing a flat with this guy. And this guitar player was teaching kids Led Zeppelin guitar riffs, and Thurston Moore sort of thought that was kind of like intriguing, and then they started playing these doing shows as a duo, Thurston Moore and this guitar player. And I just thought that's really, like, that seems like such a weird scene that Thurston Moore moves to London and then he's sharing this flat with this guy who's teaching kids Led Zeppelin guitar riffs, because isn't that the sort of thing you do when you're like 19 and no one knows who you are? Not when you're like a guy in his mid-50s who's this hugely influential alternative rock guitar guy.
Yeah, that is weird.
Do you know what I mean? Isn't that just such a funny scene? Thurston Moore moving to London and he shares a flat with this guy.
Right.
And ends up he ends up getting into his band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like listening to a podcast for years and years and then being invited onto it. It's got to be something like that, right?
Thing, right?
Yeah. it's a strange world. But I've got a feeling that Thurston Moore also grew up watching Happy Days.
Well, I bet he did, yeah.
Yeah, probably did.
Well, who didn't?
Probably did. We should play one more track. So I think we should let Nicholas pick the next track.
I think so, too.
Do you want to do another rocker, or do you want to do something a bit different?
Can you pick one that shows the, maybe a contrasting sound?
Yeah. Number three is more of an acoustic-y kind of one, and good contrast to the other tracks. So okay. Track three called Tape.
Definitely a contrast, and I like that one. That one rocks in an even gentler way than the other ones.
Yeah, his last couple of albums have been kind of more acoustic-y, right? I mean, didn't
yeah,
he have...
like acoustic throughout. I think
yeah,
he hasn't had a rocker album, has he? Since Sonic Youth disbanded, Is this the second or third one? I can't remember now.
Well, he did sort of two kind of solo albums, so Trees Outside the Academy and then Demolished Thoughts. Demolished Thoughts was actually produced by Beck. I know you guys really love Beck.
Yep.
That was in 2011. But last year he actually put a band together called Chelsea Light Moving.
Oh, right.
They did an album.
Yep. That was a rocking album.
Bit kind of, much more kind of electric based. And I didn't really like that so much. But that was, not really kind of acoustic-y.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, you've blown us out of the water with your music journalism on Thurston Moore. So good.
Oh, look, I love it. Love it.
All right.
All right. Thumbs up.
Let's.
Are we giving this overall grades? We know that Nicholas is giving it possibly an album of the year consideration, at least.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yep. I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, definitely thumbs up from me.
And what do you say, Elaine?
Based on what I've heard, I like it. Yeah.
Good.
Okay. I have a band called Eyelids. Nobody seems to have heard of this band,
nope.
Except now they're going to hit it huge because they've been on the podcast. They're from Portland, and here's the trivia. The drummer from the Decemberists is in this band. That's the most famous member. And there's also a guy who played in one of the Robert Pollard side projects called Boston Spaceships, which was actually probably one of the better Pollard side projects, in my opinion. He's also in the band. So it's a bunch of guys from Portland. And they get compared to Big Star and Teenage Fan Club. And that's kind of what they sound like. So I'm just going to play something and we can take it from there. The album is called 854. I'll play track 2, Psych Number 1. Eyelids.
What do you think, guys? I'm kind of... Well, first of all, it wasn't initially on Spotify, but it showed up there today.
That's why I put it up on that thing.
Right.
That server thing to send to you.
Yeah. And then I was listening to it file by file, so it was kind of less conducive to sitting back and enjoying it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of underwhelmed overall.
Yeah, that's the first I'd heard of it, and I enjoyed it. It seems pleasant enough.
Yeah, it's definitely not... I'm going to start using this term. It's not confrontational.
Yes, but it is challenging.
It does challenge you. Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm going to use that all the time now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to actually sort of write something in my hand, like, do not say these things. That's not yours.
So, Nicholas, did you get a chance to listen to this at all?
I did. I listened to it a lot, and I really liked it. I really like the guitar playing in a lot of the tracks. And there's a couple of tracks that really remind me of a particular Australian band that you guys have mentioned. if we get a chance to listen to any more tracks, and we can see if you guys can pick it.
I said let's do it, but go ahead if you had more to talk about.
Well, there's another band, and I've spent about the last 3 days racking my brains to try to remember. Overall, to me, there's a real 90s sound about this album, and I really like that. Particularly the vocals. Reminds me a bit of, the Matthew Sweet album, Girlfriend. You know, it's got that sort of, that vocal harmony kind of thing. But there was a band in the 90s, an American band that used to get played a lot here on one of the radio stations. And I can't remember the name of the band, and it's really annoying me because their vocals sound a lot like this.
The Posies, maybe?
They
kind of sound like the Posies.
Yeah, I agree. It's not them, though.
Hmm.
Apparently, this band had lots of vocal harmonies, and when they played live, they would all stand in a line, like including the drummer, and even the drummer would stand up.
38
had
Special?
A name, like, had jelly in it or fish. It wasn't green jelly or jellyfish. And the band name sounded like the Teenage Fan Club, but it's not the Teenage Fan Club.
Okay, somebody's going to have to come up with this. I'm not coming up
with it. Play another song and I'll try to think of it.
Yeah, Chris will come up with it when you play the next song. So, what track are we going to play?
Well, if we went for, I think it's track 10, You Are Your Own, check out the vocals in the verse and listen to the bass and guitar and see if you can think of what Australian band parts of this song remind you of.
Okay, here we go.
I don't feel any closer to a guest than I did before the song.
Tame Impala. Silverchair.
I can eliminate one band.
Olivia Newton-John.
It's not Men at Work. Right?
Midnight Oil. I'm just throwing Australian bands out now.
We had to kick the dog out of the studio.
Well, listening to it again, then I was thinking, was that the best example? It's kind of in there. You kind of have to search for it. The Church.
Oh, the Church. Yeah. It's got
a little bit of that vibe in there, in little bits. Not totally like, that's totally like the Church, but to me it's like, just for this little moment here or just for that little moment there.
Right.
I actually like that song a lot better than the first one, so now I'm becoming more intrigued.
He likes Nicholas's pick better than mine. This is a pride thing now. Well, okay, I think we're getting close to running out of time, so we were thinking about doing another band. Or we could play another track by this band, or we could say goodnight. What should we do?
Let's do one more by this band. I can save mine.
Okay, we'll do it. Does that sound good?
That sounds good. Okay. I think the next thing that Nicholas says has to be in his 38 special voice.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to remember the guy's name, and it's Donnie Van Zandt. You know what?
Oh, right, yeah.
He's not even in the band anymore.
Yeah, that's sad.
Isn't that terrible?
How many?
He's actually, he's probably moved to London and created a solo project with the bass player from My Bloody Valentine.
That could
now,
be.
Now, wouldn't that be cool?
Wow, that would be
that
great.
That would be the best.
Yeah, you combine that. Who knows what they'd come up with?
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's play another song from Eyelids. The album is 854. I'm not confident that I can find one that Chris likes better, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Pressure's on.
Yeah. Let's just go with the title track. That's a good one. 854. Okay, there you go. Eyelids.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I think this is going to be... I like the Matthew Sweet comparison.
I do, too. That's such an underrated album.
Yeah.
Girlfriend.
I mean, that go ahead.
Came out right when, you know, right as Nirvana was setting out to destroy music for the next 10 years.
Wait a minute.
That's when that came out.
It destroyed bad music. It destroyed hair metal.
And good music at the same time.
It was Yeah.
Matthew Sweet, incidentally, he's one of these guys that, like, you know, REM became big, and so he moved to Athens, Georgia to try to cash in on like the whole REM B-52s scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was making music for a while before Girlfriend finally caught on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'd be like somebody moving to Seattle to, you know, try to cash in on grunge or whatever.
He still puts out albums. He's kind of like Ron Sexsmith in that way.
Yeah.
There's just a ton that nobody ever hears. And
a couple years ago.
I get
ago,
him from Steven a lot, like his promos.
Yeah, I mean, didn't he reconstitute himself a couple years ago in like a trio?
Oh, he does that. He does those covers with Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals.
Okay.
So they'll take 80s covers and just, you know, do them pretty straight.
Mm.
And they're, you know, it's not bad.
But I like the three songs that I've just heard. I'm a convert. I'm going to listen to this.
All right. I'm glad it's on Spotify now.
Yes.
Yeah, good one, Will. I really like this album. I really liked it a lot.
Good, good.
That didn't sound like Donnie Van Zandt to me. Let's hear that again.
I feel like Donnie Van Zandt. I feel like he's not inside me today. He's oh, just let, gonna come
God,
out.
Let's hope.
Certain,
let's okay. hope so. Yeah.
holiday times.
Yeah.
All
right. You gotta wait for the right inspiration.
Yeah.
Can't try
absolutely.
To force it.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. I think we need to regrettably sign off. But
I have one last bit of music news, and that is my daughter is learning to play the violin.
Okay.
And since I'm a, you know, I'll throw this out to the audience. I am trying to convince her that violin is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed her a video of, I don't know if you've seen Andrew Bird when he does like this, his thing where he'll do a little violin piece and loop it and then just kind of build on that. And so it's, he becomes like his whole orchestra by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on YouTube and search like Andrew Bird Cemetery Gates. And he does, it's just absolutely amazing. So I'm trying to show her these videos, but then I'm also trying to think of albums that have great violin on them, because I'm kind
some,
of a sucker.
Yeah, get her some Dirty Three, right? Some Warren Ellis and Nick Cave stuff too.
Hey, yeah.
I played
the Melbourne Band.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I played her some Belle and Sebastian, Fold Your Hands, Child, You Walk Like a Peasant. That's got great violin on. The song Too Much Love is probably one of my favorite songs, and it, mm-hmm. like the violins just soar on that song, and I think it's great. So I'm trying to convince her that violin is actually a rockin' instrument.
Like Charlie Daniels Band.
Yes, there you go. Devil Went Down to Georgia.
If you need another violin virtuoso rocker guy like Andrew Bird, there's another guy named Owen Pallett from Canada.
Mm.
He does a similar thing. He does the loops and stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's good.
All right, so yep. This is for the audience. Think of good violin albums I can get my daughter to listen to.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Best violin albums.
Okay. Now we have to sign off. Nicholas, thanks a lot. This was really fun. And we will do it again for sure.
Thank you. As I said, you know, it's an honor for me to be invited. And I just hope I didn't talk too much and, you know, impose my, strong musical views upon you and blah, 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 blah. But
no, you've coined a phrase that's going to be, I feel yes. It's going to be used on this podcast forever.
Right.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So thanks a lot. I enjoyed it speaking for the others. I know that they did too.
Cool.
And I'm glad that that you did. I do have one final question. We asked Craig this, but I get the feeling Craig's younger than we are.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicholas might be closer to our age.
Yeah, I'm 39. Pretty close to your age, Chris.
Okay, very close to Chris's age.
Sure.
So he had never heard of 38 Special outside of the context of this show.
Right.
Is that a thing in Australia? Had anybody heard of that before?
It's certainly not a thing.
They're not playing the big day out.
Maybe heard the band name before, you know, like once 20 years ago or something. I can't really be sure of even that.
Yeah.
So certainly no one would be able to name one of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the band name was very vaguely familiar to me, but all of that's been ruined just because I've heard you guys mention 38 Special so many times, so that's my only real connection with them now.
I'm sure your life has been enriched having been introduced to them. Did you go back and listen to...
I've got a feeling, though, that, you know, one day I'm going to be in a pizza shop here in Melbourne. And
some girl with a 38 Special.
Hey, you've got a 38 Special tattoo on your wrist.
And it all comes full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Got to say goodnight. So,
good morning, as the case may be.
Good morning to Nicholas, right. So, but it's kind of a virtual goodnight. I mean, even when we record it in the morning, we usually say goodnight.
We do. Right?
We assume people are listening at night, which is probably a totally wrong assumption.
Right, they've got the candles on, the love oils.
Yeah.
They're settling in with their with their loved ones to listen to our podcast.
Yes.
Right. To really get the romance going. Yeah.
Right.
What could be more romantic, really?
Absolutely. It's also kind of a family thing. You know, like in the 40s, like... They gather around the old radio and listen to Fibber, McGee, and Molly and stuff.
Right.
Now they do it and listen to the Will's Band of the Week podcast.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
With our foreign correspondence now, it's even, you know.
This thing's going to just going to blow up now.
Tri-coastal now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
That's a thing.
Although it is an argument for coming up with a real, real good sort of catchphrase to sign off with, you know. May God be with you and good loving to everyone.
Yeah, something like that, a catchy thing. Yeah, okay, we've got to work on that.
We do have to work on that.
If you're listening with your family around the wireless or you've just busted out the massage oil, it kind of works.
Yeah. Or we could just be boring like we are and say, we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, honkies.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com on our Facebook page or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.